Morning, Roberto.
Morning, Amelia.
In Johannesburg, the computer networks that were recently held at ransom were being held by a group called the Shadow Kill Hackers. Could you explain what some of the motives of these kind of hacker groups are?
Yes. Well, there are many levels of motives. On one side, there is the economic intention, so to get money out of the city council that are usually quite rich and wealthy. On the other hand, is to interestingly improve security of the whole system. They were exploiting a sort of backdoor, meaning a back entrance to the city council system, and this is. And they wanted to highlight a sort of issue that the city council of Johannesburg had.
And when it comes to governments who are looking to stop cybercrime like this case in Johannesburg, could you outline maybe some of the greatest difficulties that governments do face in preempting attacks of this kind?
Yes. Well, the problem is that governments have a very high number of attacks all the time from a different also range of types. So from the very small low-level activists to the big country that tries to do espionage on their assets. So the problem you might see is to sort of differentiate and focus on the most important attacks, the most disruptive ones. And it's a really, really complicated thing to do.
And in these disruptions, this case in Johannesburg was quite distinct and unique because they were victim to a different form of blackmail, which was known as leakware. Could you explain a little more about what leakware is?
Yes. Well, a leakware, also called as doxware, is a sort of ransomware that threatens to publish stolen information from a victim. And instead of denying, as it usually happens with ransomware, denying the access to the data, it threatens, it blackmails, as you said, to publish the data. And this attack is quite interesting because it's the second time in the world that it happens, and the risk is that it might soon happen in Australia as well.
When you do talk about the fact that it could potentially happen in Australia, given, say, that Johannesburg is, you know, South Africa's largest city, they've got a population that's quite similar to Sydney in many ways. It's almost about 5.5 million. How likely is it that an attack of this kind would happen in Australia?
Well, I would like to say very likely. I mean, it's not a matter of when. How it will happen, but when it will happen, and governments should be ready for it. Australia's cyber defenses are very advanced compared to other countries in the region and in the world. But the problem, as I said before, is that the Australian government and Australia specifically is a very target country. And for ransomware specifically, just to give you some idea of the magnitude, 81% of Australian companies last year experienced ransomware, which is a very high number in my opinion, and still 51% of these companies paid the ransom, which is not recommended to do because it increases the likelihood that more attacks will happen in the future.
I think that's a really important distinction to make because in my head at least, when you think about ransomware and attacks on a place like Johannesburg, The question of like how developed a nation is may potentially lend it more susceptible. But in the case of this, could you take us off? I think you have us on feedback. In many of these cases, I guess in Australia at least, the target is actually Australian companies because, as you said, last year over 80% of companies experienced a cyber attack and were held at ransom, and over half of them did pay that amount. So in the long term, could you illustrate what kind of effects that we might anticipate if companies continue to pay out those ransom threats?
Well, the main effect will be that there will be more attacks. And as there will be more attacks, people, companies will keep paying possibly, and this will create a sort of vicious cycle. Yes, that's right.
I think one problem in all of this is that if you do look at companies as being the main target in these cases, most large multinational corporations can obviously afford to pay these ransoms. But if this does inevitably pave the way for more cyber attacks, for example, this year alone, ransomware attacks went up by over 118%. If this was going to attack, say, healthcare or government and other legal sectors who might not be as well equipped, what might this mean for the future of citizen data for Australians in years to come? Could you paint a bit of a picture?
Yes, well, I can tell you that in the future, what can be done to protect companies from and governments from these attacks? There are, I think, three aspects. Education. Most of the attacks, most of the ransomwares come from low-level offenders, and organizations as well need to be better educated on cyber risks. Usually it is about an email you get on Friday afternoon and someone just opens it and you basically let the malware inside your organization and they have the whole weekend to exploit all the vulnerabilities. And secondly, possibly create a sort of shooting range for people that want to experience this kind of attacks. Many offenders launch ransomwares and malwares in order to have a thrill of it. So they should be able to do that in a safe online environment, a little bit like it is for guns regulations, and develop new prevention measures. So, for example, encryption of data should be better implemented, but also compartmentalization. Not every worker, not every employer need access to the entire data, the entire system of the organization. So when that employer is targeted, criminals can extract only a bit of information, not everything.
I am speaking with Dr. Robert Musoto. He's the research